All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rinkwide Vancouver. And welcome to a special playoff preview edition of Rinkwide Vancouver. Jeff Patterson joined by Irfan Ghaffar. No games to break down here. Irfan, I'm not used to doing this when there hasn't been a game played, but you can feel it now, the countdown on to 7 o'clock Sunday night. We know the schedule for the Vancouver Canucks and the Nashville Predators. We've known for a while the Canucks were going to have home ice advantage. And then it was a question of who are they going to play. We got that answer the other night. And then it was when were they going to play. The schedule is out. It all starts on Sunday at 7 o'clock. And of course, we will be on right after that game and after every game throughout the playoffs with our post-game episodes of Rinkwide Vancouver. And I was excited to let the world in on the news that I'm heading to Nashville for games 3 and 4. We'll come to you live from Bridgestone Arena after those games. But we thought, hey, playoffs in the air. The excitement is there. It's starting to build. Why not get together for a special playoff preview edition of Rinkwide Vancouver? So that's where we are. And you know what? It's all about this guy right here. Well, okay, maybe not. You can see a scale. This is a mini version of the Stanley Cup, something that hasn't been seen in these parts. Well, unfortunately, it has been seen in Vancouver a couple of times being presented to other teams. The Islanders back in 82. And of course, it was presented to the Boston Bruins back in June of 2011. But hey, maybe, just maybe, things will be different. But we're getting ahead of ourselves there. We want to spend a fair amount of time talking about the Canucks and the Predators and building up this series. But first things first, because two different approaches to Sunday night. It was a day off for the Vancouver Canucks after their game in Winnipeg, game 82. Flew back from the Peg, a full day off for the team. They'll reconvene on Saturday and practice at Rogers Arena, but the Preds flew into town and got right to work an afternoon skate at Rogers Arena as they try to get acclimated to the Pacific time zone and get a couple of skates in ahead of game one on Sunday night.
First home playoff game in Vancouver, Jeff, in 2,386 days, but really, who's counting? Yes, game one between the Canucks and Nashville Predators will take place Sunday from Rogers Arena. And look, if you're the Preds, I mean, the flight's long, right? The Nashville to Vancouver flight, I know they're on the charter and things like that, but I think it's a good thing from their head coach, Andrew Brunette, to try and get them into Vancouver. And they get one skate in this afternoon, probably have a team dinner or something like that, and then we'll practice again tomorrow and then play for real morning skate. So they'll hit the ice probably three times. I'm guessing Sunday might be an optional for some of their guys, but they'll have hit the ice three times before they get to game one.
Yeah, I always love this about playoffs. The sort of the chess game, but also just the approach. And you're right. Is it a full practice? Is it an optional? Is it all hands on deck? All that kind of, and the deeper it goes into the series, you know, rest against practice time and working through some kinks and all of the in-game adjustments and between-game adjustments. That is the beauty of playoff hockey, that it all comes down to this matchup. The same opponent, you have to beat them 4 out of 7 times, and it all gets going again on Sunday. Hey, this episode of Rinkwide is brought to you by the fine folks at the Applewood Auto Group. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, start your search at Applewood Auto Group. It's all good at Applewood. All right, I had Farhan on with me after the Winnipeg game, so it's been a couple of days since you and I have been able to discuss the Vancouver Canucks. Just want your thoughts quickly on what do we make of the fact that Brock Besser, who clearly has been battling something here and has taken a whole bunch of maintenance days, took that to another level. He was the lucky one. He got left behind. He didn't even have to go to Winnipeg. And I would imagine that was just to continue to rest and rehab. Any concerns, though, whatsoever? Are there red flags in that fact that Besser didn't make the trip? Is he good to go? Do you expect him to be as healthy as can be for the start of this playoff series?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I think that everyone is going through something at this point in the season. And you're right, Brock was the lucky one. He didn't have to go all the way to Winnipeg. But I remember after, I think it was a game where he wasn't made available to the media, or it was practice recently where they said he was getting treatment. So clearly the head coach obviously had mentioned it after that, said, you know, Brock's a little banged up and is getting some treatment. So he's going to be ready to go. I mean, will he be at 100%? Is anyone really going to be at 100% come game one? But, you know, Brock's ready to go. I think the extra day just helped. No sense for them to put him on the plane if he was going to play limited minutes anyways. So again, he was a lucky one. And then obviously the other guys that didn't have to play that game as well. So I'm not entirely concerned about Brock Besser at all. His status for game one is he probably will play.
Yeah. What did you make of the fact that it was JT that got to sit out and not a guy like Elias Pettersson perhaps? And then we think that Filip Hronek is battling through something. I know Patrick Johnson reported it might be an arm or an elbow. Whatever the case, that didn't surprise me that they sat him down. And Ian Cole is the veteran guy, the elder statesman, 35 years of age. Rest certainly can be a factor. But what about JT as opposed to Elias Pettersson or somebody else?
But I think if you're the head coach, you know what you're going to get out of JT Miller each and every single game. You know he's going to be there for game one. And I think right now, I mean, you and I have talked about this a lot on episodes of Rinkwide at a lot of points this season, especially since the All-Star break. Elias Pettersson needs to find another gear. Now, I know a meaningless game against the Winnipeg Jets may be hard to get up for, but they wanted him on the ice. They needed him on the ice. And I think for him, he needed to be on the ice as well, right? Just feeling the game. You know, he got the power play time as well, and then it was able to get out there and just feel the hockey game, right? I think that sitting him out a game would actually do more harm than it would good for Elias Pettersson. His coaches wanted him in the game. JT Miller, absolutely no problem with him not playing. Ian Cole, yes, we've seen the load management there as well. The other guy that I thought that might take the night off or not, but was Quinn Hughes, but he definitely was in that game and got to play 82.
Yeah, and wanted to protect his lead and try to add to it, and he did briefly. And then Cale Makar had a point. Looked like Colorado was going to get 150 goals against the Oilers. It was 4-0 after 6 minutes. And I thought, uh-oh, Quinn, like, he's probably going to want overtime. And anyways, Quinn and Makar each had a single point. So hats off to Quinn Hughes. It's been an incredible season. And he wins the NHL scoring derby among defensemen with 92 points. And, you know, let's use that as our jump-in point here. Because when you look at this Canucks and Predators matchup, I think you can break it down into some great individual battles, potentially in goal, two game changers there, guys that have been to All-Star games, guys that their teams have leaned on, Thatcher Demko back. And I know he took the loss in Winnipeg, but I thought there were some positives there. Again, just getting down into his rhythms and his routines. But you got Thatcher Demko at one end, who looks good to go, and he'll be ready for game one. And of course, UC Saros, who was the busiest goaltender in the National Hockey League this season. Nobody started more games. Nobody appeared in more games. Nobody faced more shots or made more saves. But when you play that much, you also give up a lot of goals. And he gave up the second most goals in the National Hockey League. But he's a key part of this Nashville Predators team. I mean, we could be in for a spectacular goaltending duel in this series.
You see, Saros' birthday today, so he'll get that and get to celebrate with his teammates before game one. But I mean, look, this Nashville Predators team was a tale of two seasons, right? And we can pinpoint it to exactly when they've had no shame in telling people that it was a canceled concert, and they kind of turned it around. It goes supposed to see U2 at the Sphere, and they absolutely turned their season around. But Saros has been a big reason of that. But you mentioned Quinn Hughes and the individual matchups. Roman Josi has had an incredible season, and he's always been, you know, a pillar of consistency for the Nashville Predators. Philip Forsberg, when you're looking at the unprecedented guys that have had seasons that are in the running for the Hart, you could almost make a case for Philip Forsberg to be up there as well, with just the sheer numbers that he's put up and what he means to that team. Obviously, you know, the local storylines as well, with three Vancouver guys too that'll play. Tyson Barry, you know, probably going to watch a little bit unless there's an injury. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of storylines there. The goaltending one, though, Jeff, it's who's not. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Of the matchups that they could potentially have had, UC Saros is probably the goalie that I trust the most, other than, you know, if you're going with against Aiden Hill or against Cam Talbot, which they're not. But Saros, you know, definitely we could see some low scoring games here.
Well, this has been the history of the Nashville Predators. They used to ride Pekka Rinne, who was always one of the busiest goaltenders. And then when he exited stage left, there was UC Saros ready to pick up and carry on. And he has played 60 or more games in each of the last 3 years. He had a 67-game season not that long ago. But it is interesting to note, Irv, that this year, statistically, one of his poorest in the National Hockey League. Now, it's all relative. Still had a save percentage up over 900. Like, it wasn't like he had a terrible year, but it's just he has played and performed at higher levels. So I am curious to see where his game is and if that workload, like we always talk about the 60-game mark, and, you know, the Thatcher Demko watch was on until he got hurt there on March the 9th. And was Demko going to play 60? Were they going to find a way to limit his start? So it's been a busy year for UC Saros, and we'll see if he's able to continue to play at a high level and perform the way the Predators are going to need him. Demko obviously got some forced rest. And as we said, he's got two games. He looked really good against Calgary. I thought looked all right last night, particularly on the penalty kill where he was busy, faced nine Winnipeg shots. Now the Jets didn't have Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele. So, and Josh Morrissey, it's hard to know what to really take out of, you know, that game last night. But for Demko, it was just about facing shots, getting timing and rhythm and all that kind of stuff. But I think he looks like he's in a pretty good place. I know he was happy with his performance against Calgary on Tuesday. And with a couple of days of practice, Thatcher Demko, I think, is going to be ready to be the guy. I am fascinated to see how this series unfolds with the Quinn Hughes and Roman Josi matchup and how much they're on the ice together, because, look, they both play a lot. They mean a ton to their respective teams. They both want the puck, and when they have it, they do incredible things. But guess what, Irv? There's only one puck to go around. And so if Quinn Hughes has it, it means Roman Josi doesn't, and that's a good thing for the Canucks. But the flip side is when Roman Josi has it, you know, the Canucks have to find a way to get it away from him and let Quinn Hughes do his thing. So I am really curious to see which guy, because they both have the potential to tilt the ice in their team's favor. And I expect that we're going to see a lot. Both teams are going to focus on trying to shut those guys down and finish checks and all that kind of stuff. So absolutely, you know that the Predators have 43 circled probably a couple of times on the whiteboard. And there's no question the Canucks will have 59 on their whiteboard, because they're going to have to pay attention to Roman Josi.
No, absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned that as well, because those two guys are absolute studs. Roman Josi has played a lot of this season with Ryan McDonagh, right? A guy that's been in the National Hockey League for a very, very long time. You know, he's played in, you know, the most important of games in his career. So there is that experience factor as well. I mean, Roman Josi obviously playing in the Stanley Cup final as well with the Nashville Predators, didn't end up winning though. But when you look at it for Quinn Hughes and Philip Roenick, I mean, these guys are just kind of getting into it, right? So I think the lack of experience, yes, we're going to talk about that a lot as this series goes on for sure, but I think it might benefit them, right? I think that you're just going out and going, you know, about your business. You know, Quinn Hughes has played in massive games all his career, and now he finally gets the chance to do that here as a captain of the Vancouver Canucks. But I wanted to bring up their forward lines to you a little bit, because, you know, you got Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, and Gustav Nyquist on their top line. And then beyond that, like, that line has some firepower. Obviously, Forsberg being able to put up massive numbers. If you're Rick Tocchet and you look at your lines, like, do you want to free up JT Miller? Do you want to free up Elias Pettersson? And you want to have Elias Lindholm going up against that line just because of the way and the form that his line has been playing in lately?
Right. So we'll find out. My hunch is that they've leaned on JT to be the shutdown guy. I think that's how they start. But it's a luxury for Rick Tocchet to know that he's got a guy like Lindholm in his back pocket. If the matchup isn't working or the Canucks need a little bit of offense, then maybe you go away from JT in a hard match against Ryan O'Reilly. And look, O'Reilly has done it all, seen it all in the National Hockey League. This guy's won the Stanley Cup. He won the Conn Smythe. He was a Selke Trophy winner. He's played in the World Cup. He's played in World Championships. Guy can flat out ball. And he's had a nice bounce back season. I didn't know how much he had left in his tank, quite frankly, when the Preds threw some money his way. But, you know, he and Luke Shen brought just that sort of straight up quality individuals and the kind of leadership that the Predators, I think, were lacking there. And they have led by example, and O'Reilly's had an incredible season. You're right, Forsberg, 48 goals. Since the All-Star break, he has 24. He is third in the NHL since the All-Star break behind Auston Matthews and Kirill Kaprizov. So that's keeping pretty good company in the goal scoring front. Fifth in the league this year in shots on goal. He's going to get his looks. Like, he's that good. And so it's a question of, can the Canucks limit him? And is Thatcher Demko up to that challenge? And then if you can contain and, you know, even play that line with Nyquist, as you said, you know, play them basically even.
Yeah.
Then I want to believe that that frees up Elias Pettersson and his line mates, and probably frees up Lindholm, Garland, and Joshua to take the game to the Predators, particularly on home ice when they can dictate the matchups. And that's where I do think the Canucks have an edge. And that's with all due respect to guys like Luke Evangelista and Tommy Novak, who kind of had a quiet, slippery 18-goal season. Like, these guys are NHLers. They may not be household names, but I think in Vancouver, you know, you're going to get a better sense of who they are and what they are over the course of a playoff series, certainly if it goes longer here. But I do think that the Canucks have better depth. One thing to say it, and this is what we've said all along about the secondary scoring, you can think you've got better depth than secondary scoring, but it's got to show up and it has to produce for you ultimately. And so there are some questions about those same characters that we've talked about a lot. Mikheyev playing higher in the lineup than a lot of people would like. Nils Höglander getting his first look at NHL playoff. I don't have doubts that Höglander is going to be up to the challenge, but can he produce? Can they get Elias Pettersson going at a level where he can be a difference maker? So I like the Canucks on paper, but I still have some concerns about some of those depth guys stepping up at the right times.
Well, it's funny when you mention on paper, like on paper, the Vancouver Canucks should win this series easily. Like, I think in five games, just based on, you know, the offensive firepower, their depth, and, you know, the edge you probably give to Quinn Hughes over Roman Josi and Thatcher Demko in net. But that's why we play the game. So we're going to go and look at it. I think that it's interesting too. Anthony Beauvillier coming back to Vancouver as well. Jason Zucker, a guy that they acquired, you know, right around the trade deadline time to we thought that the Nashville Predators were going to be sellers and they were going to be the team that got rid of everybody. And then they start to go on this magical run. And he's a guy as well. You mentioned character guys, guys that are good in the room and guys that push them over top, and O'Reilly and Luke Shen. But Zucker's been one of those guys as well.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, they moved Jakob Trenin, who looked like the kind of guy that you would want come playoff time, who, you know, just straight lines and will play three if the opportunity is there. They move him to Colorado. And then you're right, they go out and get Jason Zucker, who was having a bit of a down year and is nearing the end of his career, but an experienced guy, and we'll see what kind of factor he can be. I don't imagine that the Canucks are quaking in their skates about facing Anthony Beauvillier, who is two teams removed from being a Canuck, right? He went through the clearinghouse that is the Chicago Blackhawks and then on to Nashville. But Beauvillier has shown in the past that he's got some playoff pedigree, an experienced guy, and maybe does come back here motivated to try to make some kind of statement. And honestly, when we look at this Canucks lineup and we keep saying they're one winger short, Anthony Beauvillier is not a perfect player, but you know what? Like, Anthony Beauvillier might have been a better option over the long haul than a guy like Ilya Mikheyev, but they moved off Beauvillier and he comes back now as a Predator. You have to respect your opponent and you have to realize that these guys are going to want it every bit as much as the Canucks, but just the way that Nashville is structured, that top line does so much of their scoring that that's the challenge. But I also think that's the opportunity for the Vancouver Canucks. If you can hold them in check to some degree, that to me presents the opportunities for this hockey club. And I would imagine that the way they lined up in the game against Calgary is probably the way that they will line up. We'll find out more at Saturday's practice, but you know, my hunch is that Vasily Podkolzin is going to be given an opportunity to start the playoffs, at least with PDG and Nils Åman in the wing. Wouldn't it be something if Podkolzin took this opportunity and found a little bit of offensive flair? I'm not looking at him to be a leader by any means, but we know that offense wasn't there. He's got the contract out of the way, so a little security in his back pocket. Whatever the case, yeah, top to bottom. Look, the Canucks were 10 points better than the Predators in the regular season, but it is interesting to note that from Christmas time on, basically identical records. So the Canucks had that incredible first half of the season where the Preds spun their wheels a little bit, but Andrew Burnett's systems took hold, the U2 concert, whatever it was that got them moving. Really, since Christmas, it's been a dead heat. And I am a believer that form matters. Like, and that's why I do have some concerns about a guy like Elias Pettersson coming into the playoffs with one goal in his last 13 games. We always talk about you can't flip a switch here. You want to believe that he's going to produce for the Vancouver Canucks, but in some ways, it almost feels like it's going to be a surprise if it happens, if he becomes a dominant force. Canucks and Canuck fans would love to see it. As I sit here now, you know, I have higher expectations that Connor Garland is going to be more productive in this opening round, or certainly JT Miller, just because his, you know, he's built for playoff hockey. There's no question that Elias Pettersson can be a difference maker for the Vancouver Canucks, and they need to see it starting at 7 o'clock on Sunday night.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm not entirely convinced that Elias Pettersson is going to go beast mode a la Ryan Kessler 2011, you know, as against the Nashville Predators here. But the thing about Elias Pettersson is he does have that skill. Like, he's got it, right? They get on the power play. That power play gets hot. He can put in goals. It's just that I agree with you, Jeff. It's the form. What have you done for me lately? And unfortunately for Elias Pettersson, he hasn't really done too much on the offensive side of the puck, to be completely honest, whereas guys like Connor Garland, guys like Dakota Joshua, guys like, you know, Elias Lindholm, he's not putting the puck in the net, but he's getting himself into pretty good positions and he's picking up points and assists. And then you obviously have the JT Millers and Brock Besters of the world. But it kind of leads me to my next question to you. And, you know, I thought about it a little bit, you know, when you and I and talked about the team awards, and I was very adamant about some of them and the MVP and most important player and things like that. Who's the Canucks' most important player heading into this series? Like, is it Quinn Hughes or is it Thatcher Demko? Because I might be leaning towards the goaltender here in this one.
Yeah, I feel pretty good that Demko is going to be on his form starting with game one. Like, the injury obviously wasn't ideal, but in some ways it was forced rest for him. And the Canucks all along said they had a plan, and clearly they did, and got him back with those two games to go. Looked like he shook off some rust. So I think Thatcher Demko has shown, he showed it earlier in this season, he showed it in the bubble, he has the ability to take his game to really the highest heights relative to his peers in the National Hockey League. Now, Quinn Hughes obviously led all defenders in the NHL, presumptive Norris winner, and is right there on any given night as the best, if not the very best, defenseman. I think you could sit and make strong arguments for both of them, but goaltending can be such a difference maker. And goaltending has the ability, and we saw it with Demko in Vegas in the bubble, getting in the heads of opponents, and you start to wonder, like, am I ever going to beat this guy? How did he make that save? Not again, you know, those types of things. And if you can plant a seed of doubt in your opponent's mind, like, it's mental warfare as much as it's physical out on the ice. So, you know, I might shade a little bit to Thatcher Demko. I just know that Quinn Hughes is going to show up. I know that the Preds are going to target him and the Canucks have to protect him as much as they can. And certainly those first 5 minutes of the opening round league-wide, it's chaos on ice and everybody's trying to get, you know, that first big hit in. And so there's no question that if I'm playing Quinn Hughes, I'm trying to finish him as much as I can. Because look, if you lay the body on him in game one, if this goes six or seven and you're finishing checks on a regular basis, like, it can become a battle of attrition and every hit matters as the series go on. So, but I have no doubt, like, first of all, you gotta hit him, right? And that's proven hard for a lot of opponents. He's so slick in his ability to spin off checks and those types of things. He plays so much. He's going to be in the crosshairs. He's going to be on the receiving end of some hits. That's just the fact of life in playoff hockey. But again, I have no doubts that Quinn Hughes is going to find a way to elevate in these playoffs. Where I'm not convinced at this stage. I want it to happen for Elias Pettersson. I want it to happen for Brock Besser. And there are other guys that, you know, have only got the bubble to draw on. And so playing playoff hockey in front of 18,000 screaming fans, even your own, also when you have to go on the road, hostile environments and all that kind of stuff, this is different. This isn't the bubble. And so these guys are all going to have to learn and learn pretty quickly.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
One of the things I'm going to be most happy about, Jeff, is as soon as the puck drops on Sunday, we can stop talking about the bubble.
Yes.
It's an exciting time. I mean, you talk to some players right now that are, you know, pumped to be going into this. Not many of them really know what to expect heading into this, right? A lot of them haven't been into opposing buildings and, you know, they're not going to Vegas or LA. You know, it's a long flight too, right? So that's another thing that they're going to have to take into consideration. Early game start, you know, on for game four, game three, obviously a little bit earlier as well, but just an interesting time in the book on the Canucks. I mean, you mentioned it there was physicality, right? Was go in and be physical and be a team that imposes their will on them and see how the Canucks react to that. So definitely going to be pretty interesting to see what the Nashville Predators end up doing and the type of game plan they take in heading into game one.
I don't know if this surprises you. I have to admit it did. Like when I think of the Vancouver Canucks and the way that they're built, they finished fourth in the National Hockey League in hits this year. And I know hits can be a bit of a nebulous concept depending on which building and how they're counted. But at the end of the season, the Vancouver Canucks were tops in the Western Conference and fourth in the National Hockey League in hits, and the Nashville Predators were fifth. So these are the two heaviest hitting, if you will, teams in the Western Conference on a collision course here. So when we talk about it being physical, I think by nature, Jeremy Lauzon led the NHL in hits by a considerable margin over Garnet Hathaway. The Flyers were second. He was 100 more hits than any other defenseman in the NHL. Like, you know, if the puck's in his corner, like he's trying to take the body. And puck may be secondary, so the Canucks are going to have to be mindful of that. Luke Shen, obviously. Predators had three of the top 15 hitters in the National Hockey League this year, but the Canucks have Dakota Joshua, who finished ninth in the NHL and only played 62 games. So this is a guy that if he had played a full season, would have been higher on the hit chart, whatever the case. They both have playoff hockey brings that out. Even guys that, you know, that's not in their nature. Rick Tocchet always talks about if they can just give me 5 or 10% more, if you have an opportunity, you have to finish checks without a doubt. So, you know, we'll see how that all works out for the Vancouver Canucks, but that's one of the things I'm certainly going to watch. The other thing too, and special teams, we'll see how the referees, a lot of times, you know, the whistle's out early, trying to establish that they're the guys that are in control, even though the people didn't pay money to see the refs do their thing. I would expect that you'll see some power plays early on. And just looking at the numbers there, the Canucks penalty kill was better after Christmas. Still isn't perfect. You got Thatcher Demko back now, and you need your goalie to be your best penalty killer. But the Preds' penalty kill was 22nd in the National Hockey League this year, and on the road, it was 27th. So they have to start on the road, been a little porous on the penalty kill. If the Canucks can draw penalties, we know that that power play has kind of run hot and cold. There have been some moments here, but this feels like an opportunity against a team that hasn't killed penalties particularly well all season long. I want to see how much of a sort of an X factor the Canucks power play against a middling or less than average penalty kill. How much does that swing the series in the Vancouver Canucks' favor?
Elias Pettersson cooked the Preds this season, right? In three meetings, he played well. And the Canucks cooked the Predators too, right? They were 0-3. But all those matchups happened early on in the season. Now, I know the Canucks are going to be asked this, I'm sure, by media tomorrow, of how much stock do you take into something where you've beaten a team three times this season. With the way the Preds went after the All-Star break, I'm not sure that they can look at any of those games and say, okay, we can draw to some of this, because this might be a completely different National Predators team.
Yeah, I'm not putting a ton of stock in it. Two of the wins came in the first 9 games of the season. Now, if you recall, the first win, the first meeting of the year, was at the tail end of that long road trip that started. Remember, they opened at home, blew the wheels off off the Edmonton Oilers on opening night, then went to Edmonton, backed that up with another win. Then they went Philadelphia, Tampa, down to Florida, and they finished the road trip in Nashville. So at the end of a lengthy road trip, even though it was early in the season, they played really well at Bridgestone. And I remember that was one of those games that maybe there were some hints that things were changing here, that it was going to be different for the Vancouver Canucks because they completely controlled the play at the end of a road trip, did it with Casey DeSmith in goal, and looked good skating to a victory, full value there. While I say I don't put a ton of stock in the season series, if you're the Vancouver Canucks, one thing I think you can take away is that you won both of your games at Bridgestone Arena. So when this series shifts, you're going to a place where you've played well, you've had some success. You know, the Predators can't lean on that until they beat the Canucks. They can't say that they've beaten the Vancouver Canucks this year. Again, if you're looking for any sort of mental edge, but that was then. Two of those games super early in the season. The other one was the week before Christmas. And again, the Canucks played well in Nashville. Yeah, I'm basing my assessment of this Predators team on what they've done really since the start of the new calendar year, and the Canucks haven't seen them then. So Canucks can take what they want out of the 3-0 record, and the Preds, I'm sure, will try to sweep it aside and tell you that it doesn't mean anything. Ultimately, when the puck drops on Sunday night, you know, it's game on there, and it's all about what have you done for me lately, and these two teams just haven't seen each other for quite some time.
Yeah, no, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, the what have you done for me lately type of narrative, because, you know, you're basing Nashville Predators on how good they've been. When you look at this Vancouver Canucks team, Jeff, like the ups and downs kind of in the last couple of weeks of this season, you know, you and I have sat here after post games being like, they're not going to win a round if they play like this, to be completely honest. And then you have, we have other games where we sit here and say, they might go to the Stanley Cup final if they play like this. So where are you at on this Vancouver Canucks team, I guess, aside from that Winnipeg game?
Yeah, I mean, still some questions about the offense. And look, you don't have to score 8 and 10. I would think that on a lot of nights, the way that they defend, that 3 goals will probably be enough to get them a result. 4 would feel like a lot. It is funny, just looking at their season in totality, I was breaking it down earlier today. You know, they scored 5 or more goals 20 times this year, 18 of them before the All-Star break, and only 2 after the All-Star break. And one of them, Murph, was that 10-7 loss. They scored 7 and lost in Minnesota. The other one was the 5-0 win against the Winnipeg Jets. So they haven't been scoring 5 goals. Again, they may not need 5 goals. But I've liked, you know, even through the ups and downs of the offense, they have been remarkably consistent, certainly the last 20 games, defensively. And maybe some of that was, without Thatcher Demko, a mindset of got to lock it down even more in front of Casey DeSmith and Archer Shoevs. Whatever the case, you get Demko back now. If you can continue and take that blueprint that you played defensively, and look, knock on wood for them, they are as healthy as they've been all season. Like, it's all sort of come back together. I know Elliot Friedman reported that there are some injury concerns, probably the guys that we talked about a little bit earlier. Every team's got guys that are playing through something at the end of an 82-game season, but they're going to have all of their players available to them, at least we think. You know, they've got this defensive mindset now. Can they get the lead? I guess we saw their struggles against the Los Angeles Kings this year. 4 games, never once held a lead. You know, the Predators used to be a team that their identity was complete defense. I don't know that that's necessarily the case now. But still, any team, the statistics will tell you, any team's better at this level if they can get the lead. So they're both going to want to open the scoring. It's just the fact that the Canucks have done it 53 times. And I know that it didn't mean anything on the final night of the regular season, but I'm not basing much in that game. They got the lead early, 5 minutes in. That's the kind of start that they would love. And I think that there's this confidence now that with Thatcher Demko back, even if you don't get the first goal early, Demko can give you the saves required to keep it scoreless until you can get that first goal. So the first goal may not come in the early going, but if the Canucks can open the scoring, you know, that's when they're able to dictate, if they can build on that. You know, how many times did we see them get a 2-0 lead on opponents, and then they can go into sort of that lockdown mode where they just protect the guts of the ice, to use Rick Tocchet's favorite phrase. You know, so I am confident that all the structure, as much as we've joked about it and made it a punchline throughout the year, you know, structure has been a massive key to the success of the Vancouver Canucks. And so through the ups and downs offensively, I think they've got enough defensive structure there to get the job done. All right. Speaking of getting the job done, we're going to do this in a second here. I just want to tell people that this special playoff preview of Rick Wide Vancouver is a presentation of the Vancouver Canadiens. Boys of summer and spring are back at the Nat. Yeah, it's ball season here. It's playoff hockey season too. So lots going on. But make sure you get out to Nat Bailey Stadium for tickets. Check them out online at CanadiansBaseball.com. Now, earlier, I thought you were going to tell me that with the playoffs starting, you said, well, we don't have to talk about the bubble anymore. I thought you were going to say, hey, we don't have to talk about this 9-year gap and the fact that there hasn't been playoff hockey in Vancouver. And you're right. This group of Vancouver Canucks can start to author a new story here starting on Sunday night. But we thought, because there hasn't been playoff hockey played at Rogers Arena since the spring of 2015, that we would bring in the guy that was the starting goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks the last time they were involved in true National Hockey League playoffs. And of course, that is Eddie Lack. So we're going to bring Eddie into the mix here on Rinkwide Vancouver. Eddie, hey, thanks so much for doing this. Great to get you on the program. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, it's been a while. Irv, you look good.
Thanks, buddy.
He always looks good. Come on, you know that. What do you think when you think back to 9 years have passed since the Vancouver Canucks last hosted playoff hockey, since the fans here, this passionate fan base, has had a chance to see playoff hockey for themselves?
I mean, I feel like, God, I'm getting old, but also, God, this team has sucked for so long, right? I mean, it's been such a long time coming, and Now I feel like they actually have the team to do something with this too, right? And it's been a really exciting year. I feel like they weren't as hot a few weeks ago, but they kind of starting to ramp up a little bit now for the playoffs. So I'm kind of starting to get ready to get my heart ripped out again. But no, I'm excited.
I saw you check them out when they were down there in Phoenix not that long ago. I saw you hugging it out with Murph. Do you continue to follow this version of the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, I do. I don't watch that many games anymore, like with kids and work and everything. I have a real job now, right? But just to check like the scores and some highlights and everything. I mean, this is still the team that I care for the most, right? And everyone is asking me, like, if the Canes play the Canucks in the final, like, oh yeah, I am 100% cheering for the Canucks. So,
Eddie, what do you remember from 2015? I mean, you're starting goaltender, so you had a lot of things going on there, but like just the fan base and the atmosphere and things going into game one, obviously an all-Canadian matchup against the Calgary Flames, but kind of take us through kind of your thought process as you kind of like drove into the building and, you know, figuring out you're starting and things like that.
No, I mean, it was great. You like notice that playoffs is something else, right? Especially like when I was there, it wasn't too many years back from the cup run and everything, right? So there's fans everywhere, like going out to like the grocery store or like the restaurants and stuff. Like there's a certain atmosphere in the air, right? That's something special with the Canadian cities that I don't really think that you get here in the States.
It's funny. I remember a couple of things. One was Alex Burrows being wheeled off the ice at morning skate with a, you know, broken ribs at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. Do you remember all of that and the commotion around Burr being taken off the ice on a stretcher?
I actually don't even remember that. I don't know. There was so much that was going on. And then, like, obviously playing the Flames with their fan base and everything. Like, Furland was on the top of his game. He choked me out in game two. I mean, there's so much that was going on there. I mean, it was a fun series, except the way it ended, right? So
when you look at this team, who do you think the Canucks need to be their most important player as we head into the postseason here?
I mean, it's a postseason. You need your goalie to be your best player, right? And that's kind of what we were missing 9 years ago, I think. So we need Demko to be the best guy, and his best game is definitely better than my best game was 9 years ago. So I look forward to seeing it.
Well, we'll see. It all gets going on Sunday, and you got to make a pledge that if this team gets on some sort of magical run, you'll have to come back to Vancouver to take in a game or two somewhere along the line.
Third round, I promise.
Third round. There we have it. Marking it down. Hey, Eddie, great to see you. Enjoy the playoffs as much as it as you can consume. As you said, busy guy now with work and kids, but always great to catch up with you. So playoff season, it's been a long time here in Vancouver. It's the best time of the year without a doubt, so enjoy it.
Thank you guys, I appreciate it. Go Canucks, go.
There you go. Eddie Lack, starting goaltender the last time the Vancouver Canucks were in the regular playoffs, bubble notwithstanding, but with fans in the stands. He talked about getting choked out by Michael Furland. Yeah, he was a big factor there. Furkland, as Kevin Bieksa called him. I remember the big brawl at the end of game two. Game one was 1-1 into the final minute, and Chris Russell scored a seeing eye shot, and Calgary took home ice advantage away, and that's the importance of getting that opener. So we're counting it down to Sunday night. We're excited. We will be on right after every game here in the playoffs as far as the Canucks go. So really looking forward to that. I had some fun late in the season as we ramp things up. And again, I'll be heading to Nashville for games 3 and 4, or if you'll be manning the fort in studio, but we'll continue to deliver the same terrific content, and we'll let the storylines play out as they do from game to game throughout these playoffs. Again, if you're looking for content as the playoffs go along, make sure you check out all the great coverage at Canucks Army. Guys in Canucks Convo, Matt and Blake, Harrison Price, they'll have you covered as well Monday to Friday. So lots going on here on the local front, but we thought we would chime in with our 2 cents worth ahead of the playoff opener coming up on Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and we can't wait to do our first playoff version of Rinkwide Vancouver right after the final buzzer. So, all right, I guess we have to leave with some sort of prediction. You want to go first?
Sure, I'll take it. Just on sheer ability to put the puck in the net, I think I'm going to have to go with the Vancouver Canucks. I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think, to be completely honest. So I'm going the Canucks in 6 games.
All right. I think they're going to find a way to get it done one game sooner than that. But so much of that depends on protecting home ice. If you're the Canucks, if you're going to win in five, you've certainly got to get the first one out of the way. And you could really do yourself a favor if you can win the first couple before the series shifts back to Nashville. I want to thank Applewood and the Vancouver Canadians and all the great partners that have been with us throughout the season and will be there for us in the playoffs as well. We're nothing without their support and sponsorship. I want to thank Grady Sass putting in a shift behind the scenes. Yeah. Mike Rogerson as well. For Irv, this is Jeff. Bring it on. Playoffs start on Sunday, and that's when we'll talk to you with the next edition of Rinkwide Vancouver.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.